Thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. To learn more about City Place Church, visit cityplacechurch.com or follow us on Instagram and Facebook at City Place Church. All the ladies in the house say hey. All the girls in the house. All the thing ladies. Sorry. That's how my mind works. It like goes to crazy places. Just because in back when I was younger, my mom, I would get in trouble a lot in class. You guys may not be able to pick that up. And then when I got home, she would ask me like, "Were you some sort of class clown or something? You some sort of comedian?" And so I couldn't really answer because if you grew up with a mom like mine, you would wake up a week later. So I couldn't be like, "Yes, I am." So now, as a pastor, I get to kind of moonlight as a comedian. So, and my mama can't say nothing about it. What's up, mama? Shout out to my mama. Yeah. What's funny is she'll call me later today, and she'll be like, "I heard that message. Wait until I see you." I still have a fear of God, of my mama. Anybody else like that? You older? And then your mama come in, you'll be like, "I ain't got nothing to say." Because when she away, I'm like, "This is my house. You ain't going to tell me how to raise my kids." When she come, I'm like, "Listen, I got a question about David." And yeah, so. Now, but we welcome you guys this morning. Ladies, I want to tell you what January the 24th is going to be for you. My wife and I, you know, sometimes as husband and wife, the ministry for women and for men could fall on that spouse but my wife and I carry a burden for you together because we know that you walk through seasons of your life where you need sisterhood. And you will have options. There's no doubt about it. You will have options. You can be a part of this. You could be a part of that. But in this next season and decade of our church, we wanted to give you a safe place. We wanted to give you a safe place. And I'm telling you that as a couple so that you know that this is not just a girl's thing. This is a City Place thing. And so we literally have all the way through September, your nights are already set. So it's not like this is this and we won't see y'all. You've got a night now. Y'all like the way I did that? I've been hanging out with her. Look, I told you, are you some sort of clown? Yes, I am. What? Listen, so we have your nights planned for you starting this month. We're going to see you again early in the spring, see you in the summer, see you in the fall. And so, ladies, I want you to know that this season, you're going to be surrounded with life. And so I want you to find your friends. I want you to find your mama and them. Mama and them. And bring them because it's just going to be a good time to connect. And then, men, we haven't forgotten about you. We did something at the end of last year where the guys got together for breakfast, and it was just a good time together. Now, men like to eat. Men also like to do other stuff. We like to hit things and shoot things. And so we got things that we're just kind of praying around to have a holistic approach to our church this year. And so I just want you to know that's coming up. And then our students kick off in a week and a half, our student group. And then anybody like 30 and under, that's me, just so you know, okay? I'm only 27. And so, honestly, I've been 27 for at least a year. I want you to know that we are creating a place for you as well. And I need you to take the journey with us. If you are in that college and that career age, that young adults, the reason why is because, you know, all of us as young adults, we go through the same sort of struggles. And we're searching for things, and we need our own community. You know, we have, you know, there are people who are in their 40s. They've forgotten about where we are. And so we've got a place for you guys coming up as well. But this morning, I just want to preach a little bit. Is it okay if we preach a little bit? And just go into God's word. We're finishing up a mini-series that is leading into a series called You in 5 Years. You in 5 Years. Crazy, crazy kind of title for a sermon series or a message series, but we're doing two messages. One was last week, and we're finishing up today. Now, for those of you who are here, because I can see some fresh faces, those of you who are here for the very first time, I'm going to give you a snippet to catch you up. On your seat, there are some sermon notes just to kind of, so that when this message is finished, you can go home and you can find out stuff that I didn't talk about. But I want to kind of lay a foundation and then take us a little bit higher. And then this week is going to go into next week into our new series called You in 5 Years. Is that good? Yeah. All right, let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. Change us today. Let us leave here challenged in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we give everyone a little bit of light so that they can take notes, nobody falling asleep or anything like that. Isaiah 43, it says this in verse 18. It says, "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing." Everybody say new. New. Everybody say new. New. "Now it shall spring forth." Everybody say now. Now. "Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." This is God speaking through the prophet Isaiah to his people, and he says, listen, seasons have changed. I brought you from one season to a new season. And God says, now listen, forget about the old and remember and focus on something new. He says, I'm going to do a new thing. And he says, it's going to happen now. It's going to come forth. And then God asked him a question. He says, now, do you believe it can happen? So God says, I'm going to do a new thing. I'm going to do it now. But then God puts it back on them and he says, now, do you believe that it's going to happen? Now, let's go over to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. I'm not going to read everything. I'm going to paraphrase so that we can get to the moment of review and then move forward. In Acts chapter 9, there's a guy by the name of Saul. And the Bible says that Saul has been working on behalf of his personal ministry, and he has been killing and arresting the Jews who are of the belief that Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again. And the Bible says that he goes to the priest. You can see it up here on the screen. It says that he goes to the priest and asks permission to gather up more people. And it says that while he is going to get permission, he comes back, he's got their approval, he is walking on a road called Damascus, and the Bible says that heaven opened up and spoke to him and said, Saul, Saul, why are you doing what you're doing, man? And Saul looks up and says, who are you, Lord? And the voice that he heard says this, he says, now listen, I am Jesus, I'm the one you've been persecuting. He says, now listen, it's time for you to experience something new. You've been living one season one way, and this encounter is going to change your life forever. Everybody say new. Everybody say now. Now. Paul, who he eventually became Paul, has an encounter with God. God exposes him to what he had been doing. He said, you've been doing this for one season. You're going to have an encounter with me now. I'm going to change your life forever on this road. And as you move forward, you're going to make an impact that you never dreamed about. Everybody say new. New. And everybody say now. Now. The story goes on that Paul hears God's voice. And the Bible says that he is blinded and he can't see. So God sends a man by the name of Ananias to grab Paul and bring Paul to his house. Last week, and on your sermon notes, last week I gave two thoughts. The first thought is this, and you'll find it at the beginning, is that as we move into this new season of our life, we have to think in decades and not days. It's kind of hard to tie that into the text that we read, but you have to think of in decades and not days. When God says, behold, I am doing a new thing now, shall you not know it? If we're not careful, we'll think that the new thing that's happening now will just be for the season. But when God does something, God does something. When we have a real encounter with God, it's designed to leave a mark. It's designed to leave a mark that changes our life forever. So he visits Saul, who eventually becomes Paul. He visits him on a dry road and says, your new encounter begins today. It starts today. Yesterday is gone. Today, something new is taking place. And he says, you recognize what's taking place? Saul goes to Ananias' house, and God begins to do the work. So as we move through this next decade, I want to challenge us out the gate to think in decades and not days, because when God sees us, he sees us from the end back to the beginning, whereas when we talk about the things of God, we see it from the beginning, not thinking about the end. Are you with me? So here's the first thing that I want you to write down. That as we think about decades and not days, and we're trying to pursue God and all that he is, the reality is in this next decade is that you and I will have to know God. Sounds so simple. You and I will have to know God. I said last week that when we talk about knowing God, we're not just talking about knowing of God. Billions and billions of people know of God, but very few know him. Knowing God is at an intimate level. It's knowing what hurts him, what pains him, his character, his past, his present, his future, what he's thinking about. It's knowing God at a level that doesn't require what we need from him. See, in this next decade, we really have to go after God so that if he's doing a new thing, I want to know what it is. If he's doing a new thing and I only think in years, I am most likely going to plan a New Year's resolution. Anybody else? You have resolutions? Next year, I'm going to lose 10 pounds. Next year, I want a new job. Next year, I'm going to buy a house. And most of the time, my resolutions have nothing to do with God said. I will plan, and then I hope that he's taking the trip with me. But if I think in decades and not days, if I'm thinking in decades, I need God to speak because I don't want to waste a decade. I've wasted a year. Anybody? You look at January 2019 and then you're like, oh, it's 2020? Where did the year go? But man, if I give God permission to do something new and to do it now, and I give him permission to make, you know, roads in dry places and rivers where there is no water, then I realize that God has a plan that's not just for one moment. God has a plan that gets me to the end because he sees the end from the beginning. And so the first thing is that I have to realize that I need to start thinking in decades and not days. And then if I'm going to think in decades and not days, then I have to truly know God. I have to truly know what his heartbeat is. I have to truly know what he's thinking about. And once and for all, he has to have all of me. Here's a question. Does God have all of you? Awkward silence. Does he? Does God have all of you? I'm not yelling at anybody, but do we know his character? Do we know what God is thinking about? Not for you. Not for you. But do we know what God is thinking about today? What's breaking his heart today? What is God thinking about today? What exciting dreams are on his heart today? Just a question. As we go into this decade, here's a verse that I read last week. This is Paul after he has an encounter with God. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 2:2. He says, for I've determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul says, in order for me to live out decades and not just days, Paul says, I see you there in front of me and I value your relationship, but I have to be consumed with who Jesus is and Jesus alone. I know it sounds really hard sometimes because we don't know the steps that it takes to be consumed, but if we just take one foot after the other, we'll draw closer and closer to God. And there's no formula. I wish I could tell you, you can do this, you can do that. But really, it's just that hunger of God, I got to know you. Most of us have really good friends. Some of us have best friends. Some of us have spouses. And the only way we've drawn to that level of friendship with them is we've taken one step at a time. one question after another, one argument, make up, one date, another date, look around, two kids, getting older, grandkids, walking hand in hand, going to your best friend's wedding, standing up beside them. Why? One step at a time. One step at a time. It's the same thing with the Lord. I want to know you and only you, because the world will distract you, will come after you to take all of your attention away from God the Father. And the minute we turn our head and we start focusing on the year instead of the decade and the new thing that God wants to do, we get stuck. Here's the second thing. We have to know God. The second thing is that we have to live in freedom. We have to live in freedom. God says, hey, don't live in the past. I'm going to do something new. But if you read Isaiah chapter 43, God reminds them of their past. But he reminded them of their past because he wanted them to realize that they were no longer stuck in their past. That God had brought them from their past to a place of freedom. Saul has an encounter with God, and Saul had been killing Christians all of his life. And God says, this one moment with me is going to change your life forever. You will now live in freedom. When we have an encounter with God, when we say, God, I'm going to be consumed by you, the freedom that is available to us, God says, now you can live in it. See, I don't have to chase freedom every single year. If I think in decades and not days, and I say, God, I'm coming after you for full capacity, I'm going to be with you. God says, well, if you're being with me, then you can also live in freedom. There are areas in our life where, I don't know if this has been you, but this has been me sometime. I seem to carry it with me into the next season. Anybody ever, that ever happened? Like, you have one thing that you're dealing with and you kind of bring it with you? Have you and I ever rested in the fact that freedom can last forever? Have we ever really, like, sat in the seat and go, I really don't have to struggle with that. Like, I truly don't have to bring that with me. Let me read another verse. John chapter 8, 32 says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus said this. He says, I am the way, in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to me except through the Father. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So if I go back to point number one and I say, if I truly know God, if I know God, then I know the truth. And if the truth makes me free, Jesus makes me free. Are you with me? See, the more I'm consumed by him, the more that I realize that everything that I need is found in him. The more I absorb myself in who Jesus is, the more everything that I thought I had to carry, I don't. Yeah. Y'all are quiet. Y'all are quiet. Here, let me read this one. John 8:36. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Like, there's no negotiating there. I know Jesus. I'm consumed. Who are you? What are you thinking about? How's your day going? What I don't know, I need you to tell me. What's on your heart today? Show me what's available to me that I haven't even discovered yet. He says, now listen, you know me, you get freedom. And just so you know, when I do it once, it's forever. You can rest in my freedom if you rest in me. If you walked in here today with a struggle that if I was to shine a light on you, you'd be like, no, Pastor Damon, please don't talk about that. Please, people wouldn't even want to sip at me if they knew that. Let me just tell you, you walked in here, freedom is available to you. Amen. He looks at you and he's like, if they would just grab it, they wouldn't have to struggle with lust. They wouldn't have to struggle with pornography. They wouldn't have to struggle with gossip. They wouldn't have to struggle with sickness. They wouldn't have to struggle with whatever, because whom the Son sets free is free sure enough. That's The Last Dragon, show enough. Sorry, that's an old school movie. Listen, freedom is yours, but we have to be consumed by God in this next decade. Behold, I will do a new thing, shall you not know it? I will do it now, but be consumed by me. If you're consumed by me, I will change everything from yesterday. It'll be fresh today. It'll be new today. You'll live in freedom like you've never experienced before. I believe in this room, some of us No, I'm just kidding. All of us. A few of us. No. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. No limitation. He could have said, whom the Son sets free is free from alcohol. And that's it. No, 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 no. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Case closed. No negotiation. Today you can live in freedom. You can walk out in freedom. I know it. I've been praying all week. Because I honestly, can I be honest with you? I've been like, Lord, you really want me like, I want to like come out hot. It's the beginning of the year. I want to be crazy. I want to be loud. And I feel like the Lord's like, Damon, new decade, new season. If everyone grabs hold of my word, they can truly live at a supernatural level. Yeah. Because some of us in this room marvel at others. And they seem like superhero Christians. And you say, well, they do this and they do that. I want you to know that it's never God's design for you to be a superstar and you to be a bench player, for you to have a shoe contract in the kingdom and you'd be minimum wage. No, no, we do that. Oh, my goodness. No, God's like, freedom is available to you. My presence is available to you. All I need for you to do is go all in. What would happen this year if we said, you got all of me. I'm going to be consumed by who you are, and I'm going to live in freedom. I can guarantee you, you hear me. I can guarantee you that before you leave today, if you would extend your faith with mine, some of you have had struggles for years. You will leave knowing that it's not your struggle anymore. I promise you. I'm just that cocky on God just to believe it. I'm just going to stand on his word. I'm just going to step out there knowing that if you believe it, God will change you. Remember, I'm trying to set us up for my years over the next 5 years, you in 5 years. So I want to build your faith, but I also want to give you some practical, like, this is for real this time. This is for real this time. My wife and I, we were talking about this year, and I was like, I've been praying a little bit differently this year. Because I'm starting to think in decades and not days. And I realize that there's so much of God's kingdom that I haven't even experienced yet. There's so much that I don't know. I've been listening to some of my heroes preach. And I looked at Taisha, I'm like, I don't know a thing. I watched Dr. Tony Evans. Have y'all ever heard of Dr. Tony Evans? Dr. Tony Evans is a pastor in a church. His spouse just passed away. They were married for 40 years, and Ty and I were marveling at the fact that every single week, while she was passing away, after she passed away, he got up in his church, and he exalted the name of Jesus. His kids got on the stage, and they exalted the name of Jesus, and it broke me down because I realized I was like, Lord, when I get to be 70, let my testimony be that I really did trust you. Like, let my testimony be that no matter what, like, I'm with you. And I saw this giant in the faith who's a hero to me, like, just stand and say, God and I had real conversations. And I was frustrated. But while I was talking to God, I also said, God, she belongs to you. What? In this next decade, hear my heart, will we be consumed with the Jesus that died for us? Will we be consumed with the freedom that's available to us? Here's the third thing. If we live in freedom, let me give you this verse, James chapter 5, verse 16. I want you to read it. It says, confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous person availeth much. This is the reason why Sisterhood at Night is going to be so powerful for you ladies. It's because everything that we're talking about on the weekends, we're going to create an atmosphere that's going to be charged, that the intensity level won't slow down. On the weekends, we're going to push into God's presence. Throughout the week, we're going to have small groups and things for us to stay charged. when we come together in a corporate environment, we're going to stay charged. The Bible says that when you get to one another, on moments when you feel like, I don't know if I can give him everything this decade, there's somebody that says, get up, let's go. You got this. I'm with you. The reason why is because we're going to know God and we're going to live in freedom. Third thing is I want to uncover my purpose. I want to uncover my purpose. It's time for me to uncover it. We've gone decades, y'all. We've gone decades with searching. We've gone decades of doing one thing and it not really being what God sees. Behold, I'm doing a new thing and I'm doing it now. You recognize it? You're going to give me permission to do it? God says in Isaiah, when we get to the book of Acts, the Bible says that Saul was working his own job. His job was, I'm going to wrangle up some Christians. And God says, hey, you're close to your purpose, but you weren't walking in your purpose because you never had a real encounter with me. You knew me, but until you had an encounter with me, you're not going to be able to uncover your purpose. See, so many times that six-figure income job could seem like purpose. It could really just be a gifting. See, sometimes the thing that we chase, we might want it ourselves. I wanted to be an NBA athletic trainer. And honestly, and I've shared this story before, the job was offered to me without asking. And as soon as I was about to say yes, the Lord said, pray. Like, I had worked, I had spent $50,000 in education. I was there, it was at my doorstep. It was playing out the way that I had dreamed. My boss said, I'm going to New Jersey and I want you to come. I'm like, yeah, you need to pray. Say what, Lord? That was one of those times when I was like, Jonah, there's going to be a whale that's going to swallow up my moving truck. Because I am out. I'm serious. Like, I had dreamed about it. I prayed about it. I fasted over an NBA job. I had done it since I was a teenager. It was at my doorstep. And Taisha was chasing me at the time, so I think the Lord had me change it for you. Girl, you must have been really before the Lord. Consumed. So, listen, I'm chasing what's in front of me. And at the moment where I'm about to say yes, he says, pray. And this is what the Lord spoke to me. He says, Damon, I'm going to give you a choice. And this is for real. This is how the Lord told me. And this is normally my private moment, but I'm going to share. The Lord said, Damon, you can impact the guys on the team, or you can impact what I see. To this day, I constantly ask the Lord, well, Lord, what do you see? Because honestly, I'm 100% honest with you. Every single year since then, I've always put it in a year's category. Well, this must be the year that I see what you see, but I've never given myself permission to give God a window until this season of my life where I'm like, God, decade. Because then I don't get disappointed when you have me turn down something that I thought you gave me. You know what I mean? Like, I thought I was going to buy that house. And then someone else swooped in. Because this is the year for buying a house, Lord. If I live in decades and not days, I know you're going to give me the house. So when I gave away, notice I said gave away. When I said, take it, Lord. The Lord gave me an option. He said, you got purpose. You want yours or mine? And ever since then, we've said yes. That's our phrase. Yes, Lord. And can I be honest with you? His purpose sometimes is bumpy. Yeah. Because I thought you said. But you know why? Because I've been living in days and not decades. See, if I live in a decade, then I realize this decade can be amazing since I said yes. But if I live day to day or year to year, wait a second now, you promised me. You told me. what's going on? But if I go decades and days and I go, God, you're doing a new thing. You're going to do it now. Shall you not know it? Yes, I realize. Saul, new day on this dry road, man. You're going to have an encounter with me and I'm going to change your life forever. 2,000 plus years later, I'm still talking about Saul who changed his name to Paul. What would happen if we thought in decades and not days and we received the word of the Lord that said, you will do something new. I recognize that it's now. I'm going to be consumed by you. I'm going to live in freedom. Uncover my purpose in this decade. Uncover my purpose. I got time left. Then the final thing is God uncovers our purpose. Because in Acts chapter 9, verse 6, the Lord tells Ananias, he says, arise, go to the city. I'm going to tell you what to do because I've got something that I want Paul to do. We uncover our purpose, number 3. And then number 4 is that we're going to impact our world. The Bible says in Acts chapter 9, 22 through 22, Saul has gone through his God encounter, his new thing. God has had Ananias and the guys around him pray for Saul. Saul gets his vision back, and Paul begins to live out in freedom. And Paul begins to walk it out. While he's there, the men begin to speak life to Saul, and they tell him, you once persecuted Christians, now you will speak life to those that don't know Jesus yet. It says, I'm doing an immediate turnaround, and the next phase of your life, you'll see more people impacted than you ever thought. It says, now it's time to impact your world. In this next decade, I want to challenge us to be consumed by God, to live in freedom, to uncover your purpose so that you can impact your world. For decades, we've all lived in a place of selfishness. I know that may be hard to hear. Please don't be offended by what I'm telling you. We've all lived in a place of selfishness. Give me mine. I need. While others don't have a relationship with God. I'm not just talking about just meeting a physical need. I'm talking about what if we live from a place of God, I'm consumed by you. I live in freedom. I've uncovered my purpose. Now it's time for Joe, who works beside me, to know you, live in freedom, uncover their purpose so that they can impact somebody else. In this next decade, what if God positioned us so much to where what he did in us now flows through us? If we think in decades and not days, see, if we think in years and 1 year at a time, I need to get myself right first before I can help somebody else. Have you ever said that? I got to get myself together before I come. No, but if I think in decades and not just days, then I realize that I'm going to let God do in me what he's designed in me. Y'all all right? Y'all still there? Here's 3 things. Write this down. If I'm going to impact my world, I have to think and live generously. I have to think and live generously. Number 2, I have to think and live generationally. And then number 3, if I'm going to impact my world, I got to know God, I got to live in freedom, and I have to walk in purpose. Know God, live in freedom, and walk in purpose. Think and live generously, think and live generationally, know God, live in freedom. Walk in purpose. Nothing just happens. Nothing just happens. There is a design that God has for you and I that's fullness and complete. It's going to require us to truly know God at an intimate level receive the freedom that he has so that he can uncover our purpose. Your whole life can be shaped by one encounter with God. Your whole life can be shaped by one encounter with God. So let me give us just a little practical as we move forward for next week's You in 5 Year series. Over the few weeks of the series, I'm going to challenge you to think 10 years out. To think 10 years out. And then I'm going to challenge you to put it to paper. But during the series, You in 5 Years, I'm going to have you think five. So we're going to think of five. But I'm going to challenge you ultimately to think in 10, to think in decades, right? We're shifting our thoughts. Decades, not days. But the series is going to be You in 5 Years. Here's the thing. Before you write anything down, I'd like for us as a church to have a moment by which we can encounter God. Otherwise, we're just writing stuff down. Would I be right? Okay, so here's what I'd like for us to do. Every year at the beginning of the year, our church has set aside 21 days to pray and fast before the Lord. Okay? This year, my wife and I, we were talking, and we were like, we feel like there's something a little different. Something a little different about the year. And so we want to set aside so that all of us can participate 7 days of prayer and fasting. 7 days of prayer and fasting. I'm going to give you some clarity on what I'm talking about just so that you can understand. 7 days of prayer and fasting. Here's the reason why. If we all can grab hold of the fact that we're going to live in decades and not days, if we all decide that we're going to seek God as a corporate group of people inside of our church, I believe that God can give us vision for a decade. God can give us vision for a decade, but if we're truly going to be consumed by God, then we have to create a moment where God can speak. Are you with me? Getting vision for a decade, getting a word from the Lord for a decade can't be done on the run. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Like I can't be like working and then be like, Pastor Damon gave me an assignment. No, it's not an assignment. This is your life. As a church, if we think in decades and not days, I promise you, we'll get clear vision and confidence will come. Disappointment will go aside and we'll just trust that, okay, God, you're for me. So we're going to do 7 days of prayer and fasting on January the 19th through the 25th. Now, girls, this is going to take place, okay, during Sisterhood Week. Can you imagine what your night is going to be like? Strategic, y'all, when you come together as a group of women, some strong, some maybe in a broken place, and you collide after you've been praying, ladies, watch out. Ladies, watch out. And so we're going to give God 1 week of prayer and fasting. Now, let me explain what fasting is, okay? So that if you were like me, when we first got challenged to fast more, I was like, Lord, I love chicken. Honestly, I said, Lord, I love chicken. And the first time I fasted was in college. I was a part of Campus Crusade for Christ, and we were challenged to do 40 days. Hold up. I had the same reaction. But he said, all I want you to do is fast 1 day, and we'll take it as students. You do a day, you do that, you do that, you do one. And so I was like, I got this. It was the first time. I went cold turkey, y'all, straight nothing. And I was like, Lord, I'm all in. What had happened was, I had a steak, and this is how I got through my first day of fasting. I'm just confessing. I feel healing in the room. Freedom. When I first started fasting, I went in so hard that I had like some meat in the freezer, and I started my morning by taking the meat out, seasoning up the meat, because I knew when the fast was ending, y'all. It was ending that dark. So I spent all day of the fast thinking about when the fast would end. If you've ever fasted, you know what I'm talking about. That was not a good start. But here, it was a start. I don't think God was in heaven going, fool. No. I don't think that's how God is. I think that God was like, you started. I'll work on the discipline. But you said yes. You said yes. And so as a group, I want us to say yes to being consumed by God this year. Freedom, uncovering purpose so that we can impact our world. 7 days if we do it together. And the way it'll look is we'll come in on a Sunday morning, we'll pray together before service. And then women, you'll have your night on that Friday night and just have an amazing girl time with the Lord. But I feel like God can shift things for our church and for your house together. So let me just explain a couple of fasts, because if you were like me and you started de-thawing that, you know, that meat at the beginning of the day, I was thinking more about what I'm going to eat versus, listen, there's several types of fasts. I'm going to put them up for you. There's several types of fasts. There's a complete fast, which throughout the Word of God, we saw Jesus do, where he would go to a mountain and he would spend time with God the Father, and it would just be no water and be no food. And in fact, in Acts chapter, and you can leave that up, I'll just read it. In Acts chapter 9, verse 9, it says that when Saul had his encounter with God, in the same chapter, chapter 9, it says this, in verse 9, it says, and Paul was 3 days without sight, and he neither ate nor drank. It's amazing how he had an encounter with God, he got freedom, he fasted, purpose uncovered, and he started to make a difference. In verse 22 of that same chapter. So Paul did a complete fast. Now, if you do a complete fast, you want to get like some medical. You want to ask your doctor, because that's like going full blast. There's a selective fast where you say, okay, I'm not going to eat any meat. I'm not going to eat any dairy or sweets. We find this in Daniel chapter 1 when the Bible says that the king pulled all of the wise people from the people of Israel, and he wanted them to eat of the delicacies of his nation, an ungodly nation, wanting them to eat of the delicacies of his nation. And the guy said, well, no, just give us vegetables and we'll be fine. And the Bible says that God gave them favor because they remained in the discipline, and they said, we're going to sit aside that. So selective, a partial fast. It's basically what I did the first time I fast. You know what I mean? Like, I start in the morning, but I'm going to prepare my food the rest of the day. You can give up a meal, give up a meal or two. And then a soul fast is where we give up the things that affect our soul. News, movies, social media, whatever it may be. See, when we fast, what we're doing is we are aligning our spirit with the voice of God. We're killing our flesh. We're setting our soul in place, and we're saying, God, this is all about my spirit connecting to your spirit. And here's the thing. The amount that we go in is the amount that God is going to pour out. When you set aside time and say, God, it's only about you, that's when we have those God moments where God begins to speak about future, present times, and just let us know what he sees for us over the time. So next Sunday, we're going to start as a corporate group of people, and I want to encourage you to do one of those two things. We're not going to be legalistic. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I want you to spend this time with the Lord and do one thing. Do one thing and hold yourself to a discipline. Here's what I wrote. I stole this phrase from Pastor Chris Hodges, who's one of my heroes. He said, whatever I starve dies, whatever I feed thrives. Whatever I starve dies, whatever I feed thrives. And I thought, you know what? My spirit is going to thrive. My spirit is going to thrive. So I want to encourage you at your comfort level to fast with us this week. Here's our focus. We want to hear God and get an encounter for the next decade. But in order for us to do that, we realize that we need to be consumed by who he is. We want to live in freedom. We want to uncover our purpose so that we can make a difference. This 7 days is all about us being consumed by God's presence. Amen.
Thanks for joining us today. If you are in the Central Florida area, we'd love to meet you. Join us on Sundays in Southeast Orlando at City Place Church, Information on service times and directions can be found online at cityplacechurch.com.